What does this death smell like anyhow? Do you ever think about it? Well, I think most of us, probably all of us, might say, well, flowers. Why would you say flowers? Well, when you walk into a funeral home or a sanctuary where maybe they're doing the viewing in the church, that fragrance of all those flowers. Huge floral arrangements, freshly picked, designed to impress, and some of them are very impressive. The people that put those floral arrangements together are incredibly talented. But what does all that sweet smell do? It masks decomposition of the body. Now, these aren't like whispers of perfume, but they're really pungent sometimes and aromatic and overwhelmingly things are sometimes even oppressive. The scent chokes us off, chokes off our senses even sometimes. And it even chokes up us emotionally. You say, why is that, preacher? Why would we get choked up emotionally when we would walk into a funeral home or church that has a memorial service or an open casket viewing? Well, the sheer number of the flowers and the floral arrangements containing several deeply ambrosious kind of flowers fills the air in that room with a thick and sometimes sickening aroma that reminds us with every molecule in our senses that our loved one lies there silent among those beautiful flowers and that wonderful scent. But the odor sometimes comes a moment of silence. The smell of decay, the sickening sweet smell of death. Lilies, carnations, gladiolus, chrysanthemums, gardenias, a variety of all different things come to the reality that it masks the smell of formaldehyde or embalming fluid. But they also mask the reality of death. And in so doing, it becomes a symbol of death itself. I think all of us need to do is to get a whiff of that heavy, blanketed sweetness, and a sense comes over us with a troubled heart because we know the loved one is gone. Back in the time when Jesus was here on this earth, in that time, that equally heavy scent of perfumed oil, spikenard, myrrh, aloes, frankincense, other spices, resins, and other heavenly fragrant oils. In the first century, and still in the Jewish tradition today, a body must be buried the day of its death. Especially during the first century, you wonder, wow, I wonder why they did that. Well, it was not only hygienic, it was also one that honored the dead because they just couldn't imagine the worst possible thing for a body. You know how if you ever been out on 90 and you see a deer get hurt or killed or something like that, you see all them vultures coming around? It's God's way of cleaning up things. The Jews in the first century did not want to ever experience a loved one, their dead body, or a friend quickly prepared for burial, because if they didn't, they knew that maybe the vultures and animals would come and feast on the body. Tradition called for the body to be cleansed, then wrapped with linen, soaked in spices and perfumed oil. Spikenard is one of the most expensive but common oils used for burial. It's an amber-colored oil derived from the flowering plant, maybe from the honeysuckle family, mostly grown in the East, primarily in India, in the Himalayas. And you wonder, well, wait a minute, how did the disciples get a hold of this nard? Well, most likely the port at Capernaum, the merchant ships would come in and out. They probably bought it. We learn in our scripture for today that Jesus himself saw the nard sitting over to the side, and he just knew that it was going to be for his eventual burial. So when Mary pours the liquid resin over Jesus' feet and wipes it with her hair, an extremely intimate gesture. Jesus, as the scripture says, sees her as preparing his body for death. The sweet smell of death. In doing so, what she is doing is honoring him beyond measure, but also demonstrating the depth of her faith and commitment to him and his mission. Now, throughout Jesus' ministries, his disciples continually thwarted his plan when he would tell them why he came and what he had to do, that he had to die and be buried in order for them to experience this thing called eternal life. They didn't want to hear it. Ha, that's just old Jesus. He ain't going to die. He's going to be here with us for a long time. They didn't want to think about plan B. No matter how many times Jesus told the disciples that he must die, they ignored him. And the reason he told them that he must die is for them to live. They pass it off as just things that just happened. They didn't even want to think about Jesus not being with them forever, except Mary. Mary, who in a prior story sits at Jesus' feet enthralled with who he is. Mary, who believes that Jesus can and heal and raised her brother Lazarus from the dead just day before they had this dinner. Mary, whose faith is so deep and so pure that she takes Jesus at his word, and instead of trying to coax him from his faith, instead she anoints him with his mission and prepares him for that mission and that time of separation. Now Mary, who prepared Jesus for burial, was honoring him and preparing him for the struggle ahead with every ounce of her perfume in every corner of her heart. Mary, who sends Jesus on that heartbreaking, difficult journey, which you go to the Jerusalem, or even in some of the ceremonies that we do, the 12 stations of the cross, you can take that journey and just picture Jesus carrying that cross through Jerusalem. No matter how long it took, the journey, and how many clothes that the guards had stripped away from Jesus, that smell of that oil on his skin remained with him to the moment of his death. The feet that trudged through dirt and stone, carrying that wooden cross every step of the way, sends that fragrance of that perfume through the air, reminding him that he is in her care. And even when he was hoisted to the cross, the memory of Mary and her faithfulness, her gentleness, her love will stay with him just as though she was right beside him, comforting him in his grief. Her presence is forever preserved in the lingering scent of spikenard. You see, for Jesus, that scent of that perfume as he faced his death is like a salve. It may be the scent of death for Jesus, but it's also a scent of love, honor, commitment, and comfort he received from Mary's wonderful act of compassion. Huh. But then it's got the other guy, you know, Judas. However, the smothering smell of the spikenard, it provokes him into extreme aversion, even panic. And he gets into a panic because with every breath of that heavy, airless perfume, he's reminded of the deed that he had performed. Oh yeah, that's the guy over there, guard. That's Jesus. Yep. Thank you for that 30 pieces of silver, but that's him. Judas will be responsible for the demise of Jesus. And to him, when he would smell that spikenard, it must have been a scent like in a funeral of flowers and murderous and even a guilty heart. It was like him peering into a mirror. That sweet perfume reminded him of his deed and exposed it all for us to see. For Judas, unlike Jesus, that scent of spikenard is not the scent, not just of death, but murder for Judas. The scent of spikenard is the sickening scent of betrayal. It was like the kiss of death. No wonder Judas acted out in anger, accusing Mary of wasting what was meant for the poor. John in the scripture reminds us of just how false that statement was. As Jesus was known to have pilfered money, stealing money from the ministry money chest, he could easily replace it now with the 30 pieces of silver which he had bought Jesus' death. Smells evoke memories, feelings, and thought within all of us. But for Judas, that smell would haunt him from that day forward. Every whiff he took, he would breathe in that stale, oppressive air of his own betrayal. Betrayal and betrayal just kept going through his mind. What did I do? Now, I don't know of any more stifling emotion than guilt is. We've all experienced guilt in our life about something. It's an emotional thing when you realize your guilt on something. But for Judas, it would be guilt that finally would drive him and haunted him and tortured him to his own grave in Potter's Field. The oil of spikenard prepares us for the reality, the urgency, the intimacy, the realization that Jesus' death, evoking in us the reverent, heart-wrenching feelings of a funeral service. In a sense, at this time in our Lenten journey, we too are preparing ourselves for an emotional period of grief coming up soon with Good Friday. May the sweetness of your love and our love for Jesus prepare you for the time that is to come.